Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Board of Governors General Session teleconference. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be given at that time. Should you require assistance during the call, please press star then zero. And as a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to our host, Mr. Roger Collington. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon. It's Roger Collington, Vice President, General Counsel, Corporate Secretary. We're convening the general session of the ISO Board of Governors, and let me go ahead and take roll. Governor Bhagwat?
Present.
Governor Ferrin?
Right here.
Governor Galitova?
Present.
Governor Mullen?
Present.
Governor Olson?
Present.
All governors are present, and go ahead and turn it over to you. I think Richard to start out.
We asked for public comment, other than the comment on the agenda item itself. If there's any comment from the public, it should be heard. Okay, being none, then we'll move to the agenda item.
Okay, thank you, Chairman Mullen. This is Keith Casey. I'll introduce the topic, and then I'll turn it over to Greg Cook to present the proposal to you. But the item before you today is a decision on some operational and market changes related to the Aliso Canyon gas electric coordination issues we're managing. As you know, the current operational restrictions on the Aliso Canyon natural gas storage facility present some significant electric reliability challenges in Southern California this summer. And in light of this, we conducted an expedited stakeholder process over the past 2 months to consider operational market changes that would better enable us to manage the situation. And the effort resulted in the proposal before you today that we're seeking approval of. It includes certain operational and market modifications that we believe will better enable us to manage the operation of the gas generation fleet connected to the Southern California gas system. However, I do want to stress that while we believe the proposal will help to mitigate some of the risk of the electric reliability due to the LISO situation, significant risk remain for this summer given the potential magnitude and frequency of gas curtailments that are possible. So with that, Greg Cook, our Director of Market Infrastructure Policy, will present the proposal to you. But before he begins, I want to acknowledge the team that worked on this. There was a lot of work done under a very aggressive schedule, and I'd like to acknowledge Brad Cooper and Kathleen Colbert for their excellent work leading this initiative. We've had a lot of support from various business units at the ISO, too many to mention, but I would like to highlight Anna McKenna for legal assistance on this, George Angelides for the technology assistance, and our Department of Market Monitoring really played an important role in helping develop these proposals and providing the supporting analyses to assess some of the policy options, and in particular, Hjalmar Peel, an analyst in Department of Market Monitoring, was very helpful on this effort. So with that, I'll turn it over to Greg.
Thanks, Keith. Well, good afternoon, everyone. So I'll be going through the presentation that was posted on the website, starting off on slide 2. So, you know, as Keith mentioned, we started this stakeholder initiative in mid-March. It's been an extremely expedited process, but I think we've got good interaction with our stakeholders in coming up with this proposal. One of the main constraints we were working under as well was coming up with proposals that could be implemented by this summer, because one of our significant immediate concern is making sure that we have provisions in place that will help mitigate some of the impacts of the loss of the Aliso Canyon storage facility over the summer. There was the Aliso Canyon risk assessment report that was provided earlier this spring, and what it showed was that the gas system is expected to be stressed this summer, and this is particularly when we have high electrical loads and we could have scheduled gas flows that are different from the actual gas that's burned in real time. And in those situations, there could be curtailments of significant amounts of gas and gas to electric generators, and this could potentially lead to electric service disruptions. So to address this, we're proposing some operational tools and market mechanisms. We're proposing this as temporary at this point because, one, we're running through an expedited approval process on this, and two, we're asking for a fair amount of flexibility with these proposals because we view this somewhat as a learn as you go, and that we'll need to we anticipate having to make adjustments as we go forward. So turning now to slide 3, I'll first focus on the proposed operational tools that are in the proposal. The first one is that we are proposing to implement a constraint on gas generation in the affected area that can limit the amount of gas burn in a given gas region. So this constraint would be set based on close coordination with the gas company and their needs from a gas system perspective. We would be able to apply the constraint either in the day ahead and or the real-time market. And again, this would be depending on the gas system, then the electric and the gas system conditions at the time. And we could apply the constraint to limit either the maximum amount of gas burn or apply the constraint to a minimum amount of gas burn if we were in a high-pressure situation. Next, we're also proposing to provide the ISO operators with the authority to reserve internal transfer capability on transmission so that we can have additional resources that could respond to real-time load fluctuations or provide contingency reserves into Southern California. Now, this reserving of the transfer capability would only be used as needed, but it would be important to have this type of functionality in place in order to address potentially unexpected needs in Southern California so that we can have additional balancing resources provided to the area. Next, turning to slide 4, we're also proposing a number of adjustments to our market functionality so that we can have our market better aligned with the gas system conditions. The first of these is looking at adjustments to the market cost estimates that are used in the real-time market for dispatching resources. First, on the commitment side, we're looking at putting a scalar on the gas component used in the calculation of the commitment cost bid cap. Now, the reason we're proposing to increase this by 75% initially and then having the flexibility to adjust that as system conditions require. And we would cap it at approximately the OFO balancing penalty price, which under today's gas prices is approximately 300%. So the reason for this scalar on the gas commitment costs for the affected units in Southern California is the primary reason is we want to ensure that when we're committing these resources in real time, we're only committing them for real time for local needs and not for system needs. And the reason for that is, again, one of the larger constraints that we have with the loss of the Aliso Canyon storage facility is that we don't have a lot of flexibility to have different amount of gas burn in that area from what was scheduled in the day-ahead market. So we want to limit those commitments in real time of those generators only for local needs. This will also give the generators more flexibility to account for differences between gas prices between what was provided in the same-day index versus the intraday gas prices, and it also improves generators' ability to manage their gas usage within the gas balancing rules of the pipeline company. And again, we believe that this will work well in conjunction with new rules proposed by Southern California Gas, where they would be implementing daily balancing penalties when is either in an overpressure or underpressure situation, and this would allow the generators in the region to reflect those conditions through their bid prices. And again, this will help the ISO market then dispatch these units more in line with what the current conditions are in the gas system. We're also proposing to provide additional a scalar to the gas component on the default energy bids for the resources in that region as well. And this will, for a couple of reasons. One, it provides additional room for them to recover their gas costs in the event that the gas costs change significantly day over day. And it also will tend to direct more incremental energy dispatches to Kern River generators in the region when local market power mitigation is applied in the area. So if we have all the generators in the local area mitigated down to their default energy bids, from a gas system perspective, we would like to tend to see those generators on the Kern River system incremented for energy purposes more often than the ones on the SoCal gas system, because this will put less stress on the gas system in that situation. And then finally, as I mentioned, we would be seeking authority to have the ability to make future adjustments. And again, those future adjustments would be based on what we're seeing with gas prices and gas price availability, the types of dispatches were needed to respond to system needs, and other market signals.
Greg, this is Dave Olson. Where are the Kern River generators physically located, geographically located?
They're more, this is Mark Roth here, they're more on the northern end of the Southern California system. Some generators actually have dual capability to either receive gas from either Southern Cal Gas or Kern River.
Uh-huh. But they're an SP26?
Some of them are SP26, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to slide 5. We're also proposing a number of other market mechanisms, again, to ensure that the markets are aligned with the gas system limitations. The first one is enabling rebidding of commitment costs in the real-time market. Now, this one should sound fairly familiar because this was a provision that we had included in our commitment cost bidding rules enhancements that the board approved at the March board meeting. But we're proposing to include it in this filing because we want to have expedited treatment so we can have this functionality implemented as soon as possible, as this will allow resources to update their costs based on current intraday gas prices in the event that they were not committed in the day-ahead market. Next, we're proposing to establish a day-ahead gas price index using day of intercontinental exchange gas price data in the day-ahead market. So currently we use a lagged index to establish the gas price cost estimates in our day-ahead market. We have the emergency gas price spike procedure where we see a significant change in day-over-day gas prices that we can essentially delay the day-ahead market so that we can update the gas prices used in our cost estimates with the updated indice. However, given the new recently implemented timelines on the gas system, the Intercontinental Exchange has indicated they're no longer going to be publishing that index early enough in which we could utilize it for running in our day-ahead markets. So we're proposing a new procedure in which we would be essentially calculating our own gas price indice based on the data that we receive the morning of the day-ahead market, and we'd be using that in our day-ahead market. Next, we're proposing to provide the 2-day-ahead advisory schedules to market participants. So we do run a 2-day-ahead advisory market today, but we will be proposing to provide those results to market participants so they can have some additional information as to what their potential day-ahead schedules might be. So this additional information that they can use in making their gas procurement decisions. And then the last one on this slide is to allow market participants the ability to file with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to recover costs that they were unable to recover through our markets due to some of the bid caps that we have in place. This, again, was one that we had proposed within our commitment cost bidding rules enhancements that was approved in March, but again, we're proposing to do two things with this one. One, we want to include it in this filing so that we can have it in place by the 1st of June. And two, we're also expanding it to also include incremental energy costs as well. And we think this is important, again, because of the likelihood of the increased gas price volatility that we could be seeing this summer in the region. So finally, we also included some provisions to mitigate against the potential of inefficient market outcomes. The first one is we would be seeking new authority to deem selected transmission constraints as uncompetitive in our local market power mitigation process, and this would be due to the gas usage constraint in California. This is essentially to account for the fact that the local market power mitigation does not take into account this new gas availability constraint, and we want to be able to ensure that that's not potentially undermining our market power mitigation measures in the area. And then the next one on this slide is that we also would be seeking authority to suspend convergence bidding in the region if we were to identify market inefficiencies in connection with new proposed measures. Again, we don't anticipate initially that the convergence bidding will be a problem, but we will be keeping a close eye on it, and if it's potentially leading to these inefficient market outcomes or undoing what we're trying to accomplish with these new provisions, then we would have the authority to suspend the convergence bidding. So again, this has gone, moving now to slide seven, this proposal has gone through a very expedited stakeholder process. We've had, you know, very limited time for stakeholders to provide comments, but they have been very engaged in this process, and we have gotten a lot of support from stakeholders because they do recognize that we do need to act quickly to implement these new provisions to address the constrained conditions that we're likely to see this summer. There are, however, as you can imagine, some concerns with the proposal. One of the common concerns we heard was that stakeholders would like to see further details on how the elements of the proposal would be implemented and used. We've tried to add additional detail. We just provided a revised draft final proposal today with some of that additional detail, but given the, you know, short time frame in which we're developing this proposal, we have had some limitations in that area. Furthermore, we're also asking for a fairly significant amount of flexibility, and that's due to the uncertain impact that these limitations are going to have on the electric system this summer. So to try and mitigate some of these concerns, we have proposed a sunset provision that we would have all of the provisions that we would be filing with FERC in this proposal today sunset at the end of November, so that we can have some experience over the summer, seeing how well they work, have better information on the availability of the Aliso Canyon storage facility going forward, and this would essentially require the ISO to make an additional filing at that time to either extend the provisions or let them sunset or propose new provisions based on new information that we may have at the time. Next, some stakeholders were concerned that the market provisions that we're proposing are only proposed to apply to generators in the affected areas of Southern California. They argue that we should apply these provisions to all the generators within the California ISO Balancing Authority area. But these provisions were specifically targeted to Southern California because we are trying to limit the real-time dispatches in the area. And again, these are short-term measures where we're purposefully trying to limit them to the Southern California generators so that it will help mitigate some of these issues from that area this summer. And then finally, we heard from several stakeholders that they would like management to commit to replacing these short-term provisions with more longer-term market-based solutions going forward. And, you know, in response to this, we have recently put in place several enhancements to our commitment cost bidding rules. We continue to look for further enhancements to our bidding rules and commitment costs, and we'll be continuing to do that over the summer. But again, we're looking at gaining some additional experience and information as we go through the summer. So in closing, on slide 8, we recommend that the board approve the proposal that I've gone through today. We believe it provides important functionality to mitigate the reliability impacts of the limited operability of the Aliso Canyon natural gas storage facility. We're also, the proposal includes a significant amount of flexibility that allows the ISO to essentially kind of learn as we go this summer and adjust the use of the new tools to align with the market and reliability needs. And then finally, we believe that it's appropriate to include the sunset provision of at the end of November this year, and a lot of that due to the fact that we, you know, admittedly had to go through a very expedited stakeholder process, and we'll also be asking FERC to have expedited consideration of our proposal so that we can have these new provisions implemented by the 1st of June this year, so that we're ready and can have these tools in place when we start to see some of the higher load conditions in Southern California this summer. So with that, I would be happy to answer any questions.
The questions for Greg?
This is Ash. Question is, presumably these changes are going to have a negative impact on revenue for gas-fired generation in the affected area. Has there been any sort of feedback or response about that?
We've tried to address that in a couple of ways. I mean, we do have the gas price scaler that we're proposing will allow them more flexibility to include some of these gas price risks and costs into their bids, which will help to increase their revenues. But at the same time, when we implement the gas price the gas availability constraint, that could limit their dispatch in the real-time market. But at the same time, that's also protecting them from potentially incurring balancing penalties on the gas pipeline. So we think, you know, in general, I believe the generators are in favor of these provisions to help mitigate some of their risks that they would be faced with this summer. And then finally, you know, we also have the after-the-fact cost recovery provided in the event that these provisions don't go far enough and that they do incur a significant loss as a result of an ISO dispatch. They do have the ability to then be made whole through that process.
Okay.
Greg, this is Dave Olson. I understand the need for flexibility. And think that's necessary and appropriate, but are there any limits in the amount of flexibility or the magnitude of flexibility? For example, are you asking for the ability to raise the cost caps, say the commitment cost, gas price, initially 75% capped at 300%? Are you asking for ability to move that beyond 300%, for example?
No, we are proposing to put those limits in place so that, you know, there would be a bound on our flexibility. We, the commitment cost cap, we wanted the upper bound of the flexibility to be capped at the OFO penalty price. Again, if we're seeing where we're in conditions this summer where we're seeing very frequent imposition of OFO penalties into the gas market, that may require us to, you know, increase that scaler towards what that price is. But again, we don't see the need to have to go above that price. And then, you know, likewise, we had discussions about the scaler on the default energy bid, and there we didn't feel like we needed as much flexibility for that. For a couple of reasons. One, when the local market power mitigation is in place, it really does limit the dispatch of resources for local needs in the area. And two, you know, there's also concerns that if we are in a market power situation, those prices are then applied to the entire market. So they have a larger impact than, say, the scaler on the commitment cost, which is essentially doesn't set the have a direct setting of the LMPs in the area. So, you know, we believe that, you know, we're proposing 100% cap on the default energy bids, so we would keep it within that range.
So in what other areas do you anticipate you may need additional flexibility?
Well, we've also asked for a fair amount of flexibility on the operational tools and how we apply them. For example, on the gas availability constraint, we would have the flexibility to either apply that in the day-ahead market or the real-time market or both as conditions warrant. We would also have flexibility to providing it as only a maximum limit on the gas burn, or we could apply it as only a minimum limit on the gas burn, or we could apply it as both. And then we would also have flexibility as to what levels we wanted to set the constraint at. And again, we would set those levels based on information that we've received from the gas company as to what their needs are to help maintain reliability on their system so that we can maintain reliability on ours.
Oh, okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, and finally, we also have flexibility on the reserving the transmission internal transmission capacity. And again, you know, that's going to be, you know, largely based on operator analysis of what they view upcoming system conditions are going to be, you know, the risks of gas curtailments, those types of things that would warrant us to maintain an extra margin on the transmission system. So the event, you know, those contingencies were to occur, we would have that additional balancing resources available for the region.
I assume the reason, this is Ash, I assume the reason to reserve the transmission capacity is to have access to reserves from the north?
Yes, that's primarily what we're looking at.
And that's mainly, this is Mark Rother, that's mainly if we get into a position where we actually find ourselves having gas curtailments and having to manage those gas curtailments, we need to shift to electric supply outside of the resources in the Southern Cal Gas area, and so we want to maintain some movement room to do that.
Yep.
And would that include Arizona as well? Or mainly just Northern California?
It's mainly in Northern California. We will use what we can in terms of supply available that's offered up in real time, but we will be limited to whatever the transfer limitations are. And that's another point I want to make there is that EIM is actually a helpful tool in this case because it provides additional real-time ability to get transfers in if we had to shift supply outside the area due to real-time curtailments.
However, Alton, this is Keith Casey. Just to add to the conversation, I know you know there's been some stakeholder concerns with the level of flexibility we're asking for here. I think it's important to recognize that having this flexibility cuts both ways. That you know, obviously, our primary concern is doing our best to manage the situation reliably down there. But absent having this kind of flexibility, if we had to go with kind of hard constraints, we would tend to err on the conservative side and perhaps over-constrain the market when it doesn't need to be over-constrained and, you know, cause costs to the market that way. So this flexibility allows us some, you know, discretion to, you know, not excessively constrain the area if the conditions don't warrant it.
Doug? No, understand. Yes, thank you.
I'm going to ask, how does DWP fit into all of this?
So we've been coordinating with LAWP both on the reliability assessment and the action plans. And as far as I am aware, they are supportive of our efforts. And we have indicated that under our obligation and their obligation under mutual assistance in emergency conditions, we will do what we can to help each other if we can to avoid events that could be causing issues in their area and vice versa. So I think we're operating and acting very collaboratively with them. And at an operational level, we're continuing coordination discussions with both LAWP and Southern Cal Gas at levels that we've never seen before. So understanding outages, understanding how we can help each other in an operational time frame.
Thank you. Do we have any more comments? Are there any questions or comments from the public?
If there are any questions over the phone lines, please press star then one on your touch tone phone. And we do have a question from the line of Michael Threaker. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Brian Thaker, not Michael Threaker, but I assume you mean me. May I ask a question first? Greg, I understand from yesterday's call the ISO was looking to implement these provisions June 7th, but I think I heard you say that you were now targeting June 1st, or did I misunderstand?
We're actually going through an implementation analysis now. We would be targeting the provisions that do not require implementation by June 1st. For example, the after-the-fact recovery, we would be asking FERC for a June 1st implementation date there. Some of the other provisions we would be looking at getting in as soon as possible thereafter, but we would be outlining those in our transmittal letter as to the exact dates, but they would, you know, we're looking at now within a week or two of the 1st of June.
Okay, that's helpful. I shall cut down on my comment because we think that having that after the fact recovery provision in effect sooner rather than later is important because the SoCal Gas provisions are set to take effect on June the 1st. So let me just offer some brief public comment, if I may. So first, we want to commend the ISO for the way they conducted this urgent stakeholder process. Staff deserves a lot of credit for the way they balanced the urgent need to move forward with the equally important need to hear and respond to stakeholders' concerns, so thank you. The ISO's proposal definitely mitigates some of the risk compared to where we are now, and we appreciate that. But nevertheless, we're at the end of the day, we're disappointed in the outcome of this process, not because staff failed to identify the key problems with how the ISO treats the gas costs. On the contrary, we think that staff very accurately identified and describes the fundamental problems that market participants have with trying to reflect their gas costs in their offers to the ISO. Our disappointment stems from two things. First, that the ISO asserts that it doesn't have time to fix the fundamental structural problems prior to the summer, and second, that the ISO still remains unwilling to commit to a process to fix these structural problems to keep market participants from reflecting their gas costs in their offers to the ISO. So we respectfully urge the board to direct that the ISO begin that stakeholder process immediately so that we won't all be in a situation of having to implement yet one more set of temporary measures that don't address the structural problems when the provisions that are in front of you today sunset at the end of November 2016. Thanks for the opportunity to provide that comment.
All right. Chief Mark, any comment or reply?
Well, I think maybe I can start with Brian's first concern around our position that we aren't able to fix the structure, what he's characterizing as structural problems by the summer. I think the kinds of market design changes that I believe NRG is looking for would be to essentially allow for a market-based bidding of startup and commitment costs with a test of whether local market power mitigation should apply or not. These are very fundamental changes to the market design. Even if we decided today those were good changes to implement, there's no way it's essentially impossible to implement the changes of that scope. With regard to the second concern about a lack of a commitment to looking at these longer-term issues, I think we are committed, and I guess I'd look to Greg to kind of highlight where we see that stakeholder process playing out.
Yeah, I think we're definitely committed to continuing to look at these issues in another phase, I guess I would call it, of the commitment cost bidding rules stakeholder process. To Keith's point, it really we're unable to commit to what we would be able to implement, particularly by the end of November, because we're very limited in what we could implement by that time frame. But, you know, we are committed to developing more longer-term market-based type solutions to these issues going forward.
Greg, if I can just respond, you know, I think we all realize that summer is going to be a challenge, but winter, when we add another 2 or 3 BCF of core load to the gas system down in Southern California, winter has the potential to be even more challenging. So we just urge that the ISO accelerate the, you know, consideration of some changes that really address the structural problems, and that's just not, we don't have to resort to another set of Band-Aids in November.
Thanks. Yeah, and you know, just to manage expectations there, Brian, you know, we do realize that the winter operations could be somewhat different and perhaps even more challenging than the summer operations, but, you know, that's what, you know, one reason why we're proposing the sunset date on these provisions. We will be looking at the risk assessments for the upcoming winter, also taking into account the experience we've had with these provisions over the summer, and at that time, you know, be proposing either we would be, if we're still do not have the Aliso Canyon storage facility functionality back at that time, and it's looking like we would not have it over the winter, we would have to then assess what types of provisions we would need to have in place to ensure reliability over the winter. But again, you know, some of these longer-term solutions that I think a lot of the market participants are looking for, those are going to take somewhat more time for us to not only develop but also implement. So, you know, we'll have to manage within those types of constraints moving forward.
Agreed, Greg. Then let's get started. Thanks for the opportunity to comment.
Any further comment on the proposal? All right. I have time for Eric Hildebrand. Some comments on behalf of DMM.
Okay, great. Yeah, thank you, Governor. This is Eric Hildebrand. So, yeah, I can be brief, especially, I think, given the lack of other stakeholder comments. Just to supplement, you know, a bit of what, you know, I think Greg summed it up pretty well. But from our perspective, yeah, it was an expedited process. There were limitations in terms of what could be implemented. But in the end, we came up with a very good package of tools. They are tools, and including, you know, kind of a starting point in cases such as, you know, the increase in the cost, the gas costs used in the different bid caps. But we think in the end it's a good package. And again, we're going to be very supportive of the flexibility, you know, both at FERC to get FERC to approve that and, you know, get support. As Keith mentioned, I think it is a big benefit from stakeholders as well to have that flexibility, and we will work closely with the ISO, I think, to help provide transparency as to how the different tools, you know, are being used once they're implemented. I think that's one thing stakeholders are looking for is, as this unfolds, provide more transparency, and I think we can help do that in the market monitors, both help determine how they're used and get that information out to the participants. So we look forward to that, and we, you know, again, the package, we're very pleased with that, and we think it balances kind of the need to, you know, allow, you know, in many cases costs will go up. There's a cost, you know, to protecting reliability and, you know, in a situation like this, but we were, you know, concerned that that increase in costs was managed. The impact of that, you know, in practice, I think there's very little energy transacted in the real-time market. We would expect entities to be hedged, you know, load-serving entities to be highly hedged going into the real-time market. A lot of these constraints are really in real-time and not in the day ahead. So, you know, hopefully supply and demand will, a lot of that will be scheduled in the day-ahead market. And, you know, this will be just variations kind of in response to real-time conditions. But again, I think it's important to nonetheless limit the costs of that and the prices. You know, ultimately, the real-time market does affect the overall market. But we're again, pleased with kind of the package and the balance that was worked out there. And look forward to working with the ISO, you know, as these are implemented.
Okay, thank you. Roger, I think.
Thank you, Chair Mullen. I believe that our operator says that we still have some stakeholders in queue for comments. So why don't we double check on that before we head to a motion?
Okay.
Thank you, sir. And again, if you'd like to queue up for a question over the phone lines, please press star then one. Next, we turn to the line of Ellen Wolf. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Ellen Wolf on behalf of the Western Power Trading Forum, and I appreciate the call and the chance to make a comment. I think Brian Thaker from NRG expressed some of my concerns as well. Our ask today, even though we have a lot of isolated issues about the proposal, is more just to also urge you to direct the ISO staff to start on some, a really intentional stakeholder process and permanent resolutions to some of these problems right away. In addition to this one set of functionality about having generators be able to bid their gas costs, there are a number of other tools, as Greg explained, that the ISO is proposing to give itself. And there hasn't been a lot of robust analysis done of why they need these tools and how they will be used and what information the marketplace will have. So this creates a layer of opaqueness and a layer of operator control that takes the operations of the system outside of the market. And it's very important to us that we have a process that moves more to market-based mechanisms to manage some of the concerns, or at least assesses these concerns the ISO has more fully before just removing the market-based mechanisms and having all of this with behind the black curtain of the operator, so to speak. So, again, we urge you to get the staff working on this right away. Of course, there's no solution if the ISO waits to get operational experience before the winter because, again, we'll be out of time. So if the ISO could start on these processes now and in parallel gain the experience, we'll have the opportunity by the winter peak to really have some well-thought-out functionality in place instead of being in the same mess. So appreciate any consideration you can give in that regard. Thank you.
Are there any other public comments? Nobody else in the queue?
We have a question queue now from the line of Dean Burke. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the ability or the opportunity to comment. I said Dean Burke with CWR. I had just a couple comments about the effect on all generators in the SoCal Gas and SDG area. Is it only for these gas generators or any and all generators in this area that these rules would apply to?
The rules would only apply to the generators on the SoCal Gas SDG&E gas system.
Again, just gas generators, not other generators in that area.
Right. I mean, there's I say that with a caveat. There are other provisions. For example, when we're limiting transfer capability, that would have an impact on all generators. When we're using the updated gas price index, that would be used for all generators. But when we're allowing when we're putting in place the gas scaler, that would only be for generators in the affected region. And when we're putting in place the gas availability constraint, that would be, applied to generators in the affected gas zones only.
I guess my question stemmed from some information in the proposal that says that all generators will not be able to be settled off their point of delivery LMP, and just wondering if there's price impacts to the nodes, the P nodes in those areas, versus this shadow price on a quote C node, I guess, was slightly different.
No, I think what we were referring to there is in the way that this is implemented, that when the gas price constraint is binding, it would only affect the price of the LMP paid to that generator and not the price to other resources and loads in the region.
All right, thank you.
And speakers, we have no further questions in queue at this time.
All right, thank you. Okay, Roger, are you ready now?
Yes, thank you, Chair Mullen. I will go ahead and read the motion and then seek a move in a second orally. So we'll take a little bit of time, and then I will ask each governor for their vote on the motion. Move that the ISO Board of Governors approves the Aliso Canyon Gas Electric Coordination Proposal as described in the memorandum dated May 2, 2016, and move that the ISO Board of Governors authorizes management to make all necessary and appropriate filings with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to implement the proposed tariff change. Do we have a move?
Is there a motion?
I move. This is Ash Bhagwat.
Thank you, Governor Bhagwat. And second?
I think Dave seconds, right?
I'm sorry?
I'll second. It's Angelina.
Thank you, Governor Galitova. And let me go ahead and I will go through the roll and get your vote. Governor Bhagwat?
Aye.
Governor Farron?
Yes.
Governor Galitova?
Yes.
Governor Mullen?
Yes.
And Governor Olson?
Aye.
Thank you, Governors. The motion passes. Any further business?
This is Ash Bhagwat. I do want to say something. This is not directly related to the current steps that are being taken, which I fully support. But I do have a fair bit of sympathy with the views of the generators that if come December 1, as these provisions expire, that we're not exactly where we were this time, which is with sort of temporary Band-Aid solutions, because this is potentially a long-term issue, and I really do think we need to think strategically about how we're going to respond to it using long-term market mechanisms. And I do urge the ISO staff to think about that seriously, because the last thing we want to do is just have six-month Band-Aid after six-month Band-Aid on this kind of thing.
Governor Bhagwat, this is Keith. I definitely take your point, and we will take a hard look at as we move forward with implementing these procedures, what sort of stakeholder engagement we could start to begin this summer on, potential alternatives or enhancements. I do want to manage expectations that, some of the recommendations that NRG has been advocating for are major changes that are not something we can do in 6 months. There's something we should take a hard look at, but they're not something we could put in place even this winter, given the scope of the changes that would have on the market software. But I definitely take the point that we should be looking longer term, because we just simply don't know what the long-term fate of the Aliso storage facility will be, and what other types of gas constraint issues could come up in the future.
Yep. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, if there's nothing else before the commission, we're ready to adjourn.
Well, we do have a follow-up on the phone lines from Brian Thieker. Please go ahead, sir.
Keith, just briefly, we understand that some of the things we have proposed are very long-term fixes. The ISO proposed something in the draft proposal, allowing generators to submit a reference bid. We don't think that that's something that would take the kind of structural changes to systems that some of the other proposals would do. So those are the kind of things that we encourage you to keep in the mix.
Okay. Thank you, Brian.
Okay. Any other further comment or question? All right. If not, then our meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair Mullen. Thank you, Governors.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using AT&T Executive Teleconference Service. You may now disconnect.